Hello, my friends. Welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 13th day of March. I'm Paul White. Well, I told you that we're going to start the segment on Jesus visiting Mary and Martha from Luke chapter 10, verses 38, on through the end of the chapter. I've had a little change of heart in how I'm going to do this. About a month ago, we did a sermon on a Tuesday night called Distracted and Troubled. It was a message that took these verses, Luke 10, verses 38 to 42, and looked at them through the lens of the Greek. I thought, for those of you who maybe don't pick up our midweek studies, this would be a good time to play that for you over the next 3 days. So, over the next three, I'm going to break that message down. It was only about 36 minutes long. I pick it up right at the title, and we'll do about 11 or 12 minutes each day for the next three, and I'm going to get out of the way so we can get busy. Here is Distracted and Troubled. Our title tonight is Distracted and Troubled. That says it all as regards to what these two words in the Greek are translated into in English. The words distracted and troubled as they appear in the story that we're about to read. But when you see the words distracted and troubled, if I handed you a piece of paper and said write down a definition of distracted or at least an example, we'd all get pretty close to the same thing. And it would be something that takes us off point, something that pulls us away from our mission, something that causes us to lose our focus, that's distracted. And troubled is anxiety or a little bit of stress or I'm bothered. Bothered's a pretty good synonym. And these are fine, but they're not the Greek for what this word, these two words mean inside of this story. So tonight's an example of taking a couple of words that are okay on their own and they're okay on the face and the story isn't suffering because of our translation. But maybe, with a look at what they mean in the Greek, the story takes a second layer. And so I'm never trying to ruin your interpretation, or I'm never trying to slant it, or be like, oh, that we should never see it that way again. I don't see the Bible that way anyhow, because for me, the Bible has morphed over time. I see a scripture and then see it different and see it different and see it different. So all these do is give you another layer. It's peeling the onion a little bit and letting you see that there's more there. Let's read this story beginning in Luke chapter 10. And it's a story that's, when you're in the Gospels, you're in stories that most Christians have heard time and time again. We've heard sermon after sermon on them. But I want to read it straight through. It's not very long, just a few verses. From Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through the end of the chapter, this is the story of Mary and Martha. And that famous moment, Jesus comes to their house. It happened as they went that he entered a certain village. This is the village of Bethany. We know this for later in the book. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. We're a chapter away from Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. So close chronologically is what I meant to say. We're close chronologically to Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, but we're in the same house. Okay, so this is the home of Mary and Martha. Mary sits at Jesus' feet. Verse 40 tells us, Martha was distracted, there's our first word, distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. 41. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and, here's our second word, troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. That's the entire story. We don't get a lot of commentary. We don't get this story in another gospel with more depth. This is about as deep as it gets. And I want to just handle the practical stuff first, because this is sort of how we handle this story for the most part in the church. We look at this as a story that is about priorities. So some people's priority is to do and be active. And some people's priority is to sit at the feet of Jesus. And that Jesus complements the priority of sitting at his feet. And so this story becomes an example of how you should spend time with Jesus more than you spend time with everything else in your life. And that how it's very easy to get distracted and doing stuff to the point that you miss out on what you should do, which is sit at the feet of Jesus. And this causes us to say, be more like Mary. So in a we use this as a comparison sermon or a lesson. We go, you have the opportunity in your life to be like Martha, which is busy, busy, busy. Or you have the opportunity to be like Mary, which is rest, rest, rest. Choose rest instead of busy.
And we all nod our head and go, yeah, yeah, that's what we should do. Let's go right back to our lives and go, perfect world. Jesus is at our house. I can tell you, if Jesus is at my house, I'm going to be Mary. I'm not going to be Martha. I'm going to be sitting at the feet of Jesus. And we sort of leave the story there. And it's got, you know, some good practical principles there called don't get distracted and don't stress out and spend some time with Jesus. But it also causes us to condemn the Marthas of the world, really, the people that are actually doing stuff versus the people that aren't doing anything, usually end up getting a little bit condemned and made to feel bad because they're working so hard. And if we take this into a hyper-religious space, then all the religious people are Marthas, and all the free grace people are Marys. You know, this is kind of how we can twist these stories pretty quickly. And so everybody active and doing stuff and working hard, you're a bunch of Marthas, and you need to realize that it isn't about that, and you need to calm down and sit at the feet of Jesus and be more like, and we usually mean be more like me. You know, that's kind of what we usually mean when we compare. Be more like me, someone who's trying to spend some time alone with Jesus. Because, hey, even Jesus commends Mary. He doesn't commend Martha, he commends Mary. Hey, Mary chose the more needful thing, so be at my feet. And so then once again, we can leave that service or that class and say, well, I'm going to do everything I can this week to be a little bit more like Mary. Those are all of that's not all, but those are the big ones. That's kind of the way we handle this story. It's used to make us all feel like we need to slow down a little bit. It's used to make us feel like we need a life that's less distracting, and it's made to commend those who figure out how to sit at Jesus' feet. What does it look like to sit at Jesus' feet? That doesn't ever usually get answered. That, you know, we don't really come up with anything because Jesus isn't physically here. So what would it look like to live your life in a manner in which you actually sat at Jesus' feet instead of consumed with your life like Martha? But if you really got practical, how much would you get done if you didn't live a little bit like Martha once in a while? And right? I mean, what would happen in the world if you just decided that you're just going to be the one that sits at the feet of Jesus all day long and nothing's going to happen? Nobody's going to, that kitchen's not getting, none of the food's getting made, none of this, no one's getting served, this house isn't getting clean, nothing's getting done because we're all going to be like Mary. And so this is why a lot of times practical preaching of our texts falls short. Because if you just get practical with the word and it's all just about principled living, the stories don't usually, they don't work. Like, they kind of start to fall apart. And it's because they weren't ever meant to be told that way. And they weren't ever meant to be seen that way as just little, tight, little principles for living by Jesus and by Luke the evangelist. There's more than meets the eye. And that's why the parables are always good. They're not just stories, or the way I was taught, earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. They're more than that. They're nuances and layers and things that they can mean and things that they shift to mean. So let's start with our first word. This is a hapax, a word that appears but once in the entirety of the New Testament and never appears again. And Luke uses it. It's Luke using it. Let me say this right. Luke's the writer. Okay. So Luke's using all of them. Jesus doesn't speak Greek. We don't have any evidence that Jesus speaks Greek. So if I say Jesus said this word and he said it and no one else ever said it in the New Testament, I'm saying that wrong. Really, Luke has Jesus speaking Greek. Jesus isn't speaking Greek. Okay, Jesus is probably speaking Aramaic. Most likely. Possibly Hebrew, but even in the world of that day, Hebrew people were speaking basically Aramaic, sort of the street language of the world. Luke's writing this decades after it happens. And he's writing in Greek because he's got an audience that's global. He doesn't want it confined to Israel, so he doesn't write it in Hebrew. And no one wrote in Aramaic for posterity's sake. They wrote in Greek because it was more widespread. And so Luke writes in Greek, so Luke's choosing the words. Okay, that doesn't mean I don't think they're not inspired by God. I've got a hapax on God-breathed that we might do at some point. All scriptures breathed by God for inspiration. Okay, that's a hapax there. That's a word that doesn't appear anywhere else. And we may dig into that before all this is said and done. But just because it's breathed by God, don't assume that it's God pushing the pen, that he grabs the pen of Luke and he moves it to say, you got to say it this way. It's going to come out of Luke as inspired by the Spirit. So they're choosing words sometimes choosing words they hadn't used anywhere else. And perhaps that's just because they have a rich vocabulary, but maybe because they're trying to convey something else.
There's a good stopping spot for today. We'll continue this tomorrow with Distracted and Troubled Part 2 on tomorrow's podcast. Have a great day. God bless.